This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
And now, from the mayor's office, above the boathouse, on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic, with Rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
So I'm told the GLers are a little upset at me.
You stirred up a few of the troops yesterday.
Apparently, I was thought to be unfair to Brett Kavanaugh's accuser. Is that true?
The common response, because now that we're a social interactive show, the common response that we received via the GL podcast Twitter feed was victim shaming, even though that is exactly not what you did yesterday.
I don't engage in that.
No.
My point yesterday was that Christine Blasey Ford, what I said on the tweet, for example, was the timing of her of releasing this accusation is at the very least questionable.
Curious was the word you
curious.
Used.
Curious. At the very least, curious. I would never stand in the way of getting to the bottom of this. I think both.
In fact, just the opposite.
Right. I think both Kavanaugh and Ford are going to testify. And if it's found to be credible that Kavanaugh behaved in such a way, and we're going to apply today's modern sensibilities to that teenage behavior, which I completely understand, then it will not. There'll be no crying foul for me if he loses the Supreme Court nomination.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find fascinating is I'm holding in my left hand right here. See that? Mm-hmm. My left hand. I cut out the lead editorial today in the Star Tribune, which is headlined, "Get to the Bottom of Kavanaugh Allegation." And I read it. And, of course, the editorial staff at the Star Tribune, not unreasonably, wishes to also to get to the bottom of this. What I find extremely fascinating is that, to the best of my knowledge, they've never had the same editorial saying get to the bottom of the allegations made against Keith Ellison. There's a world of difference.
It's
here.
It's a complete different tone being taken.
Ellison continues to be looked at as somehow burdened in his valiant run for the attorney general's position in Minnesota, that he's been burdened by these past accusations against him. But the accusations leveled against Ellison by a former girlfriend named Karen Monahan are entirely more up to date and entirely more easily proven than the recollections of Wood versus Kavanaugh.
May I ask a question?
You may.
So when we're comparing the two, which, you know, you wonder how deep you can go with either one of these stories, but the question I always have is, do we cut any slack given the age at the time of the alleged incident between the two? In other words, Ellison and this woman were involved in a relationship when they were full-blown adults.
Right.
Whereas the Kavanaugh situation was when he was a kid in high school.
Right, and we discussed this a bit yesterday. No reasonable person can attempt to win an argument by saying that that's just sometimes that's, however unfortunate, that's teenage mischievous behavior.
You're right. You're not going to get
anywhere. You can't. You're applying modern sensibilities to this now, the Me Too movement, mm-hmm. Whatever's out there in popular culture. And there's no way to excuse Kavanaugh's behavior if, in fact, it took place as she describes it. But it's amazing that the Star Tribune, again, if they've had an editorial saying, let's get to the bottom of the allegations made against Keith Ellison, and I missed it, I apologize, but I don't believe they have. And Karen Monahan, came forward last month alleging that Allison sent her threatening text messages and once screamed obscenities at her as he dragged her off a bed by her feet. The allegations did not lead to any immediate action against the congressman, except for the announcement that the Democratic National Committee would review the accusations. Well, that's the Fox investigating the hen house. What? Why should I believe, or why should any reasonable person believe, that the Democratic National Committee would find fault with Keith Ellison, who's one of their heroes? Monahan slammed the Democratic Party for its response to her allegations when compared to its treatment of Christine Blasey Ford. Ford has accused Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of attempting to force himself onto her during a high school party nearly 40 years ago, prompting Democrats to get behind her allegations. No, they don't, Monahan tweeted in response to a question whether the party believes women's stories. I've been smeared, threatened, isolated from my own party. I provided medical records from 2017 stating on two different doctor visits, I told them about the abuse and who did it. My therapist released reports stating I have been dealing and healing from the abuse. She added four people, including my supervisor at the time, stated that I came to them after and shared the exact story I shared publicly. I shared multiple texts between me and Keith where I discussed the abuse with him and much more. As I said before, I knew I would not be believed. Her comment came after another user pointed to comments made by Peter Dow, a Democratic strategist and former advisor to Hillary Clinton and John Kerry, who wrote in a tweet that Kavanaugh's accuser will be attacked, smeared, and demonized, and that people must believe women. I would stop right here. I hope podcast listeners do not believe that I attacked, smeared, or otherwise demonized Wood. I did not.
No. Not once.
I'm questioning the larger political dynamic of the whole situation, which strikes me as, again, terribly, terribly curious that prominent Democrats in the judicial hearings had this information and chose not to ever mention it.
And one of the things, you know, that I need to let you in on in reading a lot of these reactions that I'm seeing via social media
is— you are the director of social media.
And a lot of it is a little bit—it's good back and forth, but some people are just simply going to believe whatever they want to believe and choose to believe, regardless of what's being said. And the problem is, like you were mentioning earlier, in today's society, we do have to walk a delicate line. I get that, but that doesn't mean that a conversation can't be had.
But if you think that that I'm somehow predisposed to believing that Wood is lying, which I am not predisposed to thinking that, how can you possibly explain to me why there are no there's apparently no investigation into the alleged behavior of Ellison? The Minnesota DFL and National Democratic Committee spokespeople told this building, they told 5 Eyewitness News that the case, it remains active. It's been 1 month since Minnesota DFL Chairman Ken Martin announced their lawyers were investigating Ellison after his ex-girlfriend, Karen Monahan, stepped forward days before the primary election, which I also said at the time.
Yes, you did.
What curious timing that was.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellison, of course, like Kavanaugh, completely denies the allegations. But when it comes to specifics about the investigation, party officials did not share any details. I saw this last night from Larry Jacobs. Democrats investigating a Democratic Attorney General nominee, I wouldn't expect much, said U of M political science professor Larry Jacobs. This looks to me like damage control. National and state Democratic Party are going through the steps of conducting an investigation, but I don't think we should be holding our breath. Days after the DFL announced the investigation in August, Ellison picked up the party's endorsement. Ellison's campaign issued this statement Monday night to 5 Eyewitness News. As you know, Congressman Ellison has said repeatedly that he is cooperating fully with that independent investigation. It's an independent investigation conducted by his own party. Congressman Ellison—
But he's cooperating.
Sure. I would, too, with my own party. Congressman Ellison is focused on talking with voters throughout the state about the need to elect an attorney general who will protect the rights of Minnesota families and be a champion for affordable health care, a fair economy, and equal opportunities for all. 5 Eyewitness News asked Ellison's campaign about the term independent investigation used in their statement or the name of the lawyers being used, and they referred Channel 5 to the state DFL party. KSTP's email seeking further explanation and details from the state DFL had not been returned. After the story aired Monday at 10 p.m., Monahan shared with 5 Eyewitness News details of what she shared with the investigator. Monahan said she volunteered to participate in the investigation and that it is being conducted by a law firm. In the last few weeks, Monahan said she and the investigator have spoken on the phone and in person at her home. Monahan added that she provided text messages between her and Ellison, medical records from 2017, and notes from a therapist that she was seeing as well. This news is new for the public, but I'm exhausted from the whole experience, Monahan said. I'm ready to move forward. Where is the Star Tribune editorial? Just reverse the headline. Get to the bottom of the Monahan allegation. Where is it? Why should Ellison skate through these accusations, which to my way of thinking, at least chronologically, are far more relevant and credible than Wood bringing up something that happened almost 40 years ago? I'll repeat it for you people who read with your mouth moving. I am not suggesting that she's lying. I'm suggesting, why did it take this long? And if she was concerned about his ascendancy through the judiciary, he's been vetted for public service for the last 30 years. Where was she? Where were these accusations? We get nothing from the local press on Ellison. He comfortably fits within the template of who of a progressive, black liberal who has had a strong political career, and they seem determined to either ignore this or not attach any significant importance to what Monahan has said.
Would you like a couple of replies?
Sure.
From the GLers?
Sure.
Our first one is from Whiffy on Twitter. He's that person is a great GLer. Mr. Mayor, I agree with what he's about to say. Mr. Mayor, I warn you to be careful on this platform, meaning social
podcasting
media.
Or social media.
For a couple of reasons. One, some tweets will just simply taunt you to respond, and it's hard not to because some people are just ill-intended.
Mm-hmm.
You will also see a lot of hate.
Stop right there.
Please.
You are referring to a tweet I sent out after yesterday's show.
Correct.
That said, I'm paraphrasing myself.
Here, I'll read it verbatim.
All right.
From the mayor, they're always put out from the mayor.
All
quote,
right.
The timing of the Brett Kavanaugh accuser is at the very least curious. If she was so concerned about this rise in the judiciary, why didn't she speak up years ago?
That's all I said. And so the responses you're providing are in response to that.
Correct.
And Whiffy says what?
Whiffy says, I warn you to be careful on this platform for a couple of reasons. Some tweets taunt you just to respond, and it's hard not to because some people are just ill-intended. You will see a lot of hate also on here. Your conservative thoughts will eventually be hidden by Twitter, which I don't believe that will be the case. But in response to that, I have seen some of that happen before. But he also says, but please keep posting. I love the show. Good luck.
Is he intimating that that Twitter would ferret out conservative commentary and get rid of it?
Yep.
See, I'm a neophyte with Twitter. Here's our Twitter situation, folks.
Check this out.
All the time on the air, I said, I'm not tweeting. I don't like it. I think it's silly. But given this new podcast and given that I need to help launch it, I'm doing a tweet a day.
Mm-hmm.
A tweet a day. And I'm a neophyte. And maybe I am naive. This fellow Whiffy is correct. Once I put that tweet out there, I'm fair game for anything.
Sure you are.
Yeah.
But it's also what you said isn't anything you wouldn't have said on this show or on this platform or when you were on the radio signal for 25 years.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not. But let's not lose sight of the fact that reasonable people have to at least wonder if it's fair game to embrace Wood's beliefs about what happened to her and the accusation she's made against Kavanaugh. Why isn't that also true of the belief in Karen Monahan and what she so most recently said about Keith Ellison?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's an unreasonable question. And in the world of news gathering, I can't say I'm surprised that the Star Tribune is not editorialized, calling for a more thorough investigation of the allegations made against Ellison. But it seems to me that they would owe their reading public the same editorial regarding Monahan as they've just done now for Christine Wood. As a subscriber to the paper, I would expect that. But I've learned in the last 25 years of GL, one of the most intense ways I've become educated is understanding how an institution I've worked for all my life, news gathering, has changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. There's a template that's being followed, an agenda that's being followed. And it's pretty much driven by the left, whether you want to hear that or not. And Ellison is a prominent leftist, and he's held in high esteem. So somehow that makes it easier for a left-leaning template to either to pretend that these allegations against him don't exist. They know perfectly well they do. This woman herself is a committed fan of progressivism, it sounds like, Monahan. But they're choosing to ignore her. Didn't we go through a police report towards the end of our on-air life?
Yes.
And we verified it.
Mm-hmm.
That another woman has made these allegations against Ellison, and there's a police report. Now, Monahan also claims to have a video of what happened to her.
That's right, and we haven't seen that yet.
Or
it hasn't surfaced.
I don't know what to make of that. I suppose you could make the argument, why did you come forward, Monahan, and tell us all this if you're not willing to show us the video? But you got two cases here of curious timing, right? Curious timing. Mm-hmm. Monahan right before the primary, and now Wood right before the confirmation vote. And I find what Monahan has to say at least as credible as anything Wood has said, because Monahan, this just happened. And as you say, it happened in adulthood, recently, within the past few years.
When he was already in office.
When he was a congressman. And he now wants to be an attorney general and apparently save us from all sorts of dastardly, evil corporate giants who are going to come in here and steal your money or be unkind to families or deprive you of health care or whatever else is on his agenda. But the bottom line for me is I want fair treatment across the board. I want fair treatment across the board.
This guy has seen more urban wildlife than a DNR field agent with a PhD, Joe Souchere.
Well, that's not the John Height news band.
I'm a child.
Isn't this great?
Yeah.
Man of Steel, it's called.
All right.
No one's after me.
Hold on. I'm going to get the name of the band right. 6 Mile Even Grove. They were local guys. They emailed me.
All right.
And said, hey, we... He said, anything we've done... Maybe. Go ahead and use it on the GL podcast. We want so 6 Mile Grove. The song is Man of Steel. It's a really good tune.
Well, thank you, Man of Steel. You know what? I'm now completely terrified of the world of tweeting.
Why?
There was a reason I never embraced it.
Sure.
There was a reason.
Sure.
I don't know why that. Why would a tweet engender more commentary than live on-air radio? Yes, the director of social media has his hand up.
Because on Twitter, you get to be a nameless, faceless, empowered individual where you can go after the likes of Joe Souchere or name your big talking head, whatever.
Yeah.
And you get to say whatever you want and you get to feel better about yourself, and regardless of what you're saying.
And you're essentially anonymous.
Pretty much.
Okay, but callers to a live radio show are essentially anonymous. They say, hi, this is Pete.
Sure, but that then, when you're calling a radio show, you're having interaction. There's back and forth.
Do you ever get the feeling there's something going on out here that I don't know anything about?
I love Twitter. I know you have at least warmed up a touch to it in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, one a day.
But I love Twitter. I think it's a great tool, and I think it's extremely useful for what we do.
Yeah, but now I'm paranoid.
Now
I'm going to be so curious. I'm just going to, butterflies and blueberries. I'm never going to say anything controversial.
No. Don't let that stop you.
No, I probably will.
Well, let me share with you another comment.
All right.
Jim Johnson, who I know is a loyal GLer, but he had a lot of reaction against your viewpoint that we posted yesterday on the GL at GL podcast. Curious, a large percentage of Kavanaugh's writings are being withheld from the judiciary. Why am I having such a tough time with that word?
Judiciary
committee and the public. What could be in those papers?
I can answer that.
Here we go. Well, that's because you're the mayor.
Well, those were papers that had nothing to do with legal precedent. Those were papers that he was working on with an intended veil of security in the Bush White House. They were never intended to be released to the public. Those were whatever counsels do in the White House, advising presidents and administrations on matters that have nothing to do with the public. It might be on rulings that are internal only, that have nothing to do with affecting the freedom or the Constitution of the United States. They're advice that he was giving the president as part of a team of lawyers doing that. Those were totally unlike his findings in a court of law, which of course are public. That's how I understood it. And if that's Jim Johnson I know, I'm surprised he wrote that. That's Sanibel Jim.
Oh, is it Sanibel Jim?
I believe, if I'm wrong, I apologize. Although Sanibel Jim is not above criticizing me if he needs to.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Let me make a quick point. That's the beauty of GL. That right there is the beauty of Garage Logic. Because we have, or not
fool
we.
Me. Fool me.
No.
Fool me once.
Shame on you.
Shame.
No.
Shame on you. Fool me. We can't get fooled again.
The beauty of this program, and you in particular, is that you have never shied away from either having a discussion or having someone on that has a different opinion than you do.
You know what we should do? Let's invite Wardlow, the Republican candidate for Attorney General, and Ellison, the DFL candidate for Attorney General.
Writing it
down. I will make these. There's a couple of microphones in here.
Have it right in there.
I would love to have them come in and debate each other. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun. Because
Ellison has a long record of ignoring any invitation that GL has extended.
But you know what?
Wardlow would jump at it.
Now might be the time where he would do it.
Well, where's moron number one?
Running
late because of the rain?
I believe so.
Uh-huh. Well.
We'll get on it.
Moron number one can reach out to those two and invite. And here's the beauty of a podcast. We can do it at their convenience.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to come in here at any particular starting time.
6 a.m.
No. And not 6 p.m. either.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got a thing.
But I would love that. I would love that.
I think it'd be great.
Would I be the moderator?
Of course you would be. No. Me and Rook.
No.
Rook and
no,
I'll, yep.
No.
Hey, you're on.
Mm-hmm. I have no more to say about this except the observation that, again, all reasonable people might consider is, why does the Star Tribune have a lead editorial today, a long editorial saying, get to the bottom of the Kavanaugh allegation, which I agree with, but I don't think they've ever had one that says, get to the bottom of the Monahan allegation. At least ask yourselves that. And then if you want to rip me, go ahead.
Sure.
But it's so patently obvious why they haven't had that editorial. It should not surprise anyone why they haven't had that editorial. Ellison fits the bill.
Mm-hmm.
He fits the bill of a fellow who is covered under the template of progressive leftism. And unfortunately, that's where much of news gathering has gone. And I'll take it all back, as I often have. I'll take it all back if I see the same editorial enthusiasm given to getting to the bottom of the Monahan allegation, which sounds just as dire as anything Wood has said. It sounds just as unacceptable, whatever other word you want. It's been, I'd like to, you know, getting screamed at and obscenities and threatening text messages, however allegedly, getting dragged off a bed, however allegedly. Come on, Why aren't you wanting to get to the bottom of that?
And the problem, I think, and I'm going to speak for myself as the voting public, but the problem that a lot of people have, I know, is because character gets dragged through the mud during political season all the time.
It's dreadful, isn't it?
It really is. And that's why, and a lot of people not trusting as, you know, certain news sources or maybe all of it in general. It's why a lot of it is confusing, and a lot of people are turned off by it and just automatically put their guard up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I said yesterday, why would anyone want to enter public
service? Oh, my God. I have no idea why.
I don't know a single human being about whom something could be construed to be found offensive.
Oh.
And with the change in news gathering, depending on what side of the aisle you're on, the dogs will be unleashed.
Yep.
And everything about your life. Look at the Washington Post. The Washington Post, prior to being aware of Wood, for example, right? I want to make sure if I'm saying it's Christine or Christina. Help me. It's Christine. Prior to the allegations of Christine Blasey Ford, the Washington Post had nothing on Kavanaugh to the point where they invented something. You recall? We talked about it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
They invented the fact that he bought baseball tickets for many thousands of dollars to the Washington Nationals. And then he'd sell them to buddies. And they turned that into he had credit card debt. Well, everybody with a credit card in their pocket has credit card debt until you pay the bill.
Mm-hmm.
There was no evidence that he ever paid a bill. They just came up with the idea he bought a lot of baseball tickets on his credit card, incurring debt.
What will he do in office?
The person who wrote that for the Washington Post incurs debt every time he or she uses a credit card.
Right.
I mean, they had nothing. Nothing. And Feinstein has this in her back pocket and doesn't use it. I'll say it again for the people. Trying to see through the defroster that doesn't work on your Prius. Wood might be entirely accurate. But then you got to start asking yourselves many other questions.
You'll learn more here by accident than elsewhere by design. Here's Joe Soucheray.
You caught in traffic there, moron number one?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Reavers, are you deaf?
Sorry, bro.
Reavers is deaf.
What? I got to tell you a story.
What? Yeah, I got caught in traffic. I had to give my friend that works at the airport a ride.
I had an appointment in downtown Minneapolis yesterday at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
As the storm clouds were gathering.
Oh.
And I've always said... The closest you get to the country's tallest buildings, you are fated to be governed by those who rule from the salon. Mm-hmm. And one of their most enthusiastic beliefs is to get, when they're in the salon, is to disabuse people of owning an automobile or using an automobile. Mm-hmm. And this is true of all the big cities in the world. There's a tax to enter London, depending on the size of the car and what have you. And I was struck by the overwhelming thought of how difficult it is now to use a car in downtown Minneapolis.
Yes.
I got turned around. I got lost. I had to go to this place. Finally, I found myself parking three floors below the surface of the earth in the IDS center. And then I emerged back up on the sidewalk and I was all turned around. I'm getting to the car part in a moment.
Okay.
And I found my appointment and the fellow I had an appointment with was very kind. And when I told him, I got a little turned around. He said, well, I'll walk you back. And by then it was pouring. It was just pouring. And he walked me back and got me right to the elevator that I had memorized that I had to take. And I had to get down to level P3.
Yep.
And then I had to, and said, take your ticket with you. Okay.
Yes.
I did that. And then I realized that the reason you have to take the ticket with you is that there's no human being at the other end when you leave. You have to, when I got off the elevator at P3, it said, pay here.
Right.
Okay.
And you weren't done yet, or you were done.
I inserted my ticket.
Yep.
And it said, insert your credit card.
Yep.
I resented that right off the bat.
Yeah, that's not your
style. Because I like to pay cash.
Right.
Okay, I inserted the credit card. It said transaction error. It didn't spit my credit card out. The machine ate my credit card.
Uh-oh.
So now there's a button that you press that says help.
Yep. Oh. You need it. Why didn't you hit that right when you walk up to the machine?
So I pressed the button that said help. And
Wait a minute. How many times did you press the button that said help?
Well, I pressed it once, and she said, I'll be down there. And
I waited 8/10 of a second.
No, yeah, no, a blink. No, a blink.
No, I gave her a minute.
Yeah.
Then I pressed it again, and she said, I'm coming. Right. Don't worry about it. Yeah. She ended up being very nice. She was a citizen from another country.
Okay.
She could not have been kinder. And she had the tools with her and the whole thing. She had to take the damn machine apart to get my credit card out of there.
What?
Yes, and my ticket, because I put the credit card in wrong. And then she went to a different machine where she did it bing, bang, boom. Put my credit card in, got me paid, gave me my credit card back, gave me my ticket, told me, insert the ticket at the machine when you leave. Okay, I got this.
Yeah.
So I did, and then I got out, and then I was back in the world of the inconvenience for cars. My point being, I would have been much better off, and I will never do this again. I'll never drive downtown Minneapolis again.
I'm sorry. I gave you that advice.
You gave
drive.
Me bum advice.
Yeah, drive. Go ahead.
I was going to take light rail.
You were.
I was going to take light rail, and I should have. The salon has forced me to take light rail. And then I also saw numerous people on the electric scooters.
Oh, yeah.
There's pretty a popular. Big – here, I just cut it out of the paper. There's a big new delivery – in Minneapolis, of blue dockless bikes. We're terribly excited about that.
Okay.
And then they're going to have winter bikes coming and all sorts of other things. And we're going to be flooded with dockless bicycles where you use your phone, you use an app, and then you can rent the bike, and then you drop it wherever you're going and someone else will take it. I would have been better off on one of those.
I
wouldn't have needed to park any place. You could literally, I guess, leave them on a street corner.
Right.
Right? I would have been better off on a scooter.
Just drop them and go.
I would have been better off on a scooter.
Yep.
I would have been better off on light rail. Everything would have proven to be better and easier for me as a citizen to not be in downtown Minneapolis with a car.
Well, they've made great gains with you.
I'm trying not to sound ancient.
I know, but look what they're doing.
No,
they're forcing you to change your behavior,
yes.
Even though you believe in the internal combustion engine.
But they, you know what? I'm ready to say they've won. If I have another appointment on, you know, 6th and Marquette in the middle of a workday afternoon, I ain't taking no car.
That's not a pushback.
Either you are going to take me and drive around the block for an hour.
I can do that.
Or
I got time.
Or I'm taking light rail.
Oh.
Light rail would have dropped me. I think the nearest stop would have been the government center. I would have had a two-block walk.
That's
you know what
nothing.
That is? That's nothing.
Nothing at nothing. All. No.
And the whole time I was trying to park, and the whole time I was trying to get out of the city, I was overwhelmed with the feeling that the political culture has targeted automobile owners, saying, we don't want you down here.
In the hub of industry and commerce, I mean, right where all the action is.
But they're winning. They win. I'm converted. I'm never taking a car down there again.
I'm not there yet. I don't have to do it that often.
Here's the problem. I did get there quicker driving. Light rail, we figured it out what? Light rail from in front of our building here to Target Field is what? 20 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, 20 and some change.
Yeah, it depends on what time, but yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, and I would have had time yesterday to take light rail, but you talked me out of it. You said, you know what you told me?
Yeah.
I'm a bad waiter.
When you're done with your event, your meeting, you wouldn't have wanted to have gone down to light rail, wait for the rail car, and then come back here.
Come all the way
back here. You'd want to just get in your car and go right home. I didn't know you were encountering all these... You know, you put it in upside down.
Well,
or
then throw in a torrential rainstorm.
True.
Which is why the fellow I was meeting with was so kind to, he walked me back through a labyrinth of of skyways that I hadn't been in 100 years. And I know I could not have gotten from his office back to the IDS Center via Skyway without a guide. He was my Sherpa.
He was a Sherpa guide. Otherwise, you would have been drenched in a
I'd still be down there. I'd still be down there worried about I couldn't find my car.
Yeah, down in P3.
I don't care what the weather is from now on. I don't care if it's 30 below or 110. I'm taking light rail. Boom. That's it. And I'll walk six blocks.
Again, they have. They've won, and this is quite a development.
Lanes are narrowing. And then the other thing I noticed, it is resulting in inattentive pedestrian behavior.
What do you mean?
I think there's a part of the pedestrian mentality that is so on board with there being no automobiles. And of course, there still are many, many.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. At every light, I had to wait for someone walking against a don't walk sign looking at their phone.
Yep. And then if you have the audacity to just give them a little beep, like, hey, you get either the look or you get an obscenity hurled at you.
Yeah.
Well, when you they're the one that's in the wrong.
And so
the pedestrian is extremely entitled in this city.
Oh, it's just amazing.
Well, going home.
Okay. And I'm spoiled, too, because St. Paul, unfortunately, is not bustling. Minneapolis still bustles.
They do. And I can give you evidence of St. Paul not bustling. Occasionally, one of my moves, if I'm going to get off of 94, is to go through downtown on 7th Street.
That's no problem, is it?
It's not. And they have, is it on Wabasha, that bike lane that has their own stoplights, red, yellow, and green, their own green painted asphalt. And I've never seen a bicycle on that. In the many times a week that I drive that street off of 7th, there's never been a bicycle. Well, how much money did they spend on that?
It was further corroboration of my belief that the people in the salon do not take into account mothers with children.
Yes.
I understand the salon intending to get me out of my car. They don't believe in internal combustion. They believe in more controlling of the dense population. They want it denser, and they don't want cars to stand in their way. I understand all that. But what they've not factored in is that a mom with two or three kids can't live the lifestyle that those in the salon lead. Five will get you 10 that most of the people Fry has surrounded himself with probably don't have children. They envision a world where 27-year-olds are walking down the street with a baguette of bread sticking out of the bag.
Right.
And then they go into the next store and get this and that. And they don't take into account that the greatest percentage of American citizens are still trying to raise families. Or I could be wrong. Statistically, maybe I'm wrong.
I tend to agree with you. My vision, my cartoon bubble says that is what he's surrounded by. We're extremely hip, and it's just we're living in the warehouse district.
We think the automobile speaks to a culture of patriarchy and privilege, and we don't think you should own a car that will enable you to live in Lakeville and then have the audacity to drive that car in our beautiful high-density urban forest here, and we're going to do everything we can to ruin you, your life, but we're going to do everything we can to make you realize how much wiser you would be if you use public transportation. And you know what? They win.
Are they trying to create New York City, a mini NYC?
Well, they're playing Europe. The closer you get to this country's tallest buildings, the more likely you are to be led by people who are playing Europe. And they're playing Europe from the salon. And you can still drive downtown Minneapolis, but you are on the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to moving around.
I have noticed that with the don't walk signs. Mm-hmm. People don't pay attention to that.
And invariably, it was because their face was buried in their phone.
Right, right. They know they have the green light, but
And apparently the electric scooters, apparently you can just ride those on the sidewalk.
I thought we weren't supposed to.
I don't know, but I encountered many of those, too. And then the rain hit, and then, boy, didn't a car look welcome to people.
Yeah, right. That's when you want the car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry that I gave you bum advice, but it sounds like we've lost you to...
You've lost me.
I guess you're going to be a light rail.
I don't think this makes me a euphorian.
So
no,
this makes
but
me a... I'm being practical.
This is a slice. A slice of Garage Logic has cut off of your foot or
so
whatever part.
Instead of the T-shirt being pushed back, our mythical T-shirt next year can be sit down.
Yeah, sit down on light rail.
Sit down and take it. You know, I don't often get into downtown Minneapolis anymore. I used to for
I wish there was video.
Ages.
Whatever reason.
But, man, it was all I could do to just pull this off, you know. And if I didn't have a Sherpa guide, I'd still be
You'd
there.
Be wandering.
I'd still
You'd
be there.
Like wandering in the desert.
And every stop, once I parked my car, every step of the way, I had to write stuff down so I could find, like, leaving breadcrumbs.
Right.
To try to find my way
post-it
back.
Post-it notes.
Yeah.
Building.
Yeah.
You know, lickety split, you know, take a left at lickety split where Rookie bought the edible underwear for Tom Goodrich.
Yeah.
And the one guy that followed Rookie in, he knew where he was going.
Well, Met Council, you got a new permanent customer.
Imagine that.
If I ever have to go from here to downtown Minneapolis again, I'm going on the train.
You'll learn more here by accident than elsewhere by design. Here's Joe Soucheray.
You know what? You know another reason I'm going to do the train?
Tell us another reason why you're going to fully embrace the light rail car.
Because I'll never again have to worry about a parking lot machine eating my credit card.
What did you do? Put it in backwards?
I bet you put it upside down.
I don't know.
And it just went, we're chowing on this baby.
But there's a whole, I think you can say this has come from the salon. There's a whole gaining momentum now for not using anything except plastic or your phone, right?
Yes.
I'll add that to the things I'm going out with. I'm gonna be the last to use cash.
Well, even
By
if,
the way, here's another reason to take the train.
Yeah.
What did 1 hour of parking cost me in the IDS Center? Which turned out to be three blocks away from where I was supposed to be anyway.
The first hour?
I think it was 1 hour.
$4.25.
$11.
I guess I haven't been down there much either.
$11.
See ya.
That's another reason to take the damn train.
Yeah, what is it? Well, for seniors, are you a senior yet?
Oh, yeah.
$2, I think, and you get a four-hour...
You get an all-day pass just ride around.
Right.
But you don't have to... Hold it out to everybody,
right,
Joe.
You don't have to show everybody. Last time we were on light rail, you're showing everybody your card.
I sit with it held out.
Yes, you don't have to show everybody your ticket.
I want to be checked.
Metro Police, they get on board, they're going to want to look. You don't
I
want to
be known as someone who pays.
John Doe, like, hey, Grandma, I bought a ticket.
But there's another dynamic coming. First of all, they're going to get us out of our cars, and they've already won with me in Minneapolis.
Right.
And two, they're going to... get us out of the habit of being able to pay for something with cash. It'll either have to be a debit card, which I do not own, or it'll have to be an app on my phone. And I'll be damned if I'm ever going to pay for anything on my phone.
Yeah,
it's just not going to happen.
I never want to see you download an app where you can pay something.
I don't want to do
credit
that.
Credit card is asking enough of you to say, you know, pay for this in the credit card.
Well, have you seen... there's self-checkout now.
Yep.
Amazon has cashier-free stores.
I saw this.
Now there's a store in New York where you pay if you feel like it.
I saw that.
You know who'll love that.
Is that a ray of hope? Where do our sensibilities lie, Joe?
It's called Drugstore. It's a narrow black, and of course this is a New York Times piece. They just love it. It's called Drugstore, a narrow black and white tiled store that opened last week in Manhattan's Tribeca neighborhood. There's no cashier and no checkout counter. Anyone can walk in, grab a $10.83 activated charcoal drink,
mm-hmm.
and leave. They sell fooey beverages.
Yeah.
The beverages are typically sold online by the case by an outfit called Dirty Lemon, a startup that runs the store. It's not free. Dirty Lemon has made a bet that customers will pay the same way They order its pricey lemon-flavored drinks for home delivery by sending the company a text message. I'm not doing this. In the store, customers are expected to text Dirty Lemon to say they have grabbed something. A representative will then text back with a link to enter their credit card information, adding, "Let us know if you need anything else." Zach Normandin, the company's chief executive, said he was not worried that drugstore's honor system would encourage theft. "I do think a majority of people would feel very guilty for continuing to steal," he said. Okay.
So he's banking on the conscience.
Yeah, which I think he's taking a hell of a risk.
Well, he obviously didn't watch the... Did you guys see the news footage of the looters in North Carolina?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people felt guilty there.
They'll be coming right up the coast.
They're walking out of with trash bags full of stuff.
When asked how much money Dirty Lemon was willing to lose to theft, Normandin noted that the company would write down any losses as sampling costs, probably with a beneficial tax consequence to them.
Well, he should not. He shouldn't. He should just say we're not addressing that because we have faith in humankind. He shouldn't even talk about the theft.
Founded in 2015, Dirty Lemon counts 100,000 customers, around half of whom order at least a case of six beverages each month. Its high prices, text message ordering, and beauty claims are helping it get attention in a business littered with new health-focused brands. Dirty Lemon's Sleep Tonic contains magnesium. A beauty elixir drink features collagen. And an anti-aging drink contains rose water. B as in B. S as in S.
They got anything for rosacea?
No.
Damn it.
The company is closing a round of venture capital funding from investors, including Winklevoss Capital. Well, the Winklevosses were the guys Zuckerberg pimped out of their ownership of Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
BettaWorks and the investment fund of YouTube stars Jake Paul and Cameron Dallas. Normandin said his conviction in Dirty Lemon's store is so strong that he has already made plans to open another in New York and two more in other cities, all featuring a VIP lounge with a bar and special events. The company has shifted almost all of its $4 million annual digital advertising budget into its retail stores. And you can't pay. You have to pay using Vudu. I don't want to pay using Vudu.
Yeah, you'd walk right by that store in the Tribeca neighborhood.
I'm not going to drink this stuff if I can't pay for it.
Right.
You either take my money, or I'm not buying your stuff. You take it right here. I got to hand it to a cashier who probably is going to say, "How was your weekend?"
Right. Well, I mean, maybe that's the only silver lining for you is you're not going to be approached to find out what you did to, you know, have you been to downtown Minneapolis lately? You know, they're asking questions like that.
Normandin said his customers, mainly young women, are tired of digital marketing that constantly pushes them to buy things. Rather, he said, they seek in-person experiences. I don't know what that means. They're not having an experience with another person. They want to actually be kind of immersed in a brand and take it all in and maybe take a picture, he said. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in this store and I'm going to take a picture of what I'm going to buy.
So do they have, they don't have employees in that store, but they have employees.
Yeah, somewhere.
So when they have their year-end get-together, it's the Dirty Lemon Party, you know?
Normandin said he hopes to transform the beverage industry's distribution methods. The company aspires to rebuild the infrastructure that has powered beverages since the 1800s. That's going to take a lot of text messages. So-called immersive pop-up stores optimized for social media have proliferated. I don't even know what that sentence means.
If this company, Rook, did have a Dirty Lemon Party, would you volunteer your services to be the MC?
I'd be absent. I would not be there.
So-called... Director of Social Media, parse this sentence.
Here we go.
So-called immersive pop-up stores optimized for social media have proliferated.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
They're using it. Social media is basically their advertising platform.
Mm-hmm. This summer, visitors to Rosé Mansion in New York wandered 14 rooms of stylized Instagram bait.
I can't believe I answered that quickly.
I was shocked that you were even listening.
Sharing geotagged photos, GIFs and videos of bubble pits in Kava Mountains. What in God's name are these people talking about?
So they were using video clips.
What the hell is this?
The GIFs?
Yeah,
the GIFs are those quick little videos.
Yeah. This month, 29 Rooms, that's the name of an outfit, offers an equally Instagrammable interactive funhouse in Brooklyn. The Museum of Ice Cream and Candytopia in New York and San Francisco are comparably photogenic. So they're what they're betting is that I'm going to like this so much, I'm going to stick around and take pictures.
See?
Social media.
I'm starting to get it. And then I text those pictures to my friends, and that's it. I'm doing their advertising.
Basically,
see?
You've become their
boom.
Pawn.
It's a boom.
Right, right. You've become their...
What the hell?
You've become their advertising venue.
Who says technology's passed you by?
I'll tell you who's my friend.
Right, who's your friend?
I'm going to look.
Pedro Luca.
I'm going to look right here.
Not that.
Who's on a 20?
Jackson.
That's my friend.
That's your buddy.
Right there.
What's up, bro?
I ain't taking no picture of this either.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't have to.
How long before this $20 bill is meaningless to me in the world of commerce?
It'll be forced upon you, and it will be...
You know what will happen? You know what will happen? The same thing that will happen that has converted me now to never going to downtown Minneapolis again unless I use light rail. The same thing will happen. It'll prove to be so problematic for me to use cash that I'll convert to what they want me to do.
I think you're right. That time, I don't know how soon, but I know that time is coming.
Isn't that something?
Yeah,
isn't
that
something?
It's really something.
Well, the world changes and we must change with it.
Yes. I think those are accurate and wise, very wise words. You coming back for more? All right. GarageLogic.com. Check it out, the Garage Logic podcast version. We got more coming up, so click away. Thanks for listening to the Garage Logic podcast. We'll be back.